verses 21 to 28. And it can be found on page 272 in the Pew Bibles or page 479 in the large print version. When the man Elkanah went up with all his family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and to fulfill his vow, Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, "After the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always." "Do what seems best to you," Elkanah, her husband, told her. "Stay here until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord make good his word." So the woman stayed at home and nursed her son until she had weaned him. After he was weaned, she took the boy with her, young as he was, along with a three-year-old bull, an ephah of flour and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. When they had slaughtered the bull, they brought the boy to Eli, and she said to him, "As surely as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he shall be given over to the Lord." And he worshipped the Lord there. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Gospel can be found on page 1088 in the Church Bibles, or page 1919 in the large print version. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to the Gospel of John, chapter 19, verses 25 to 30.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on the stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. As we stand a prayer. Lord, help us to think through this day, how we can better be a family in this particular church. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. John 19 is our main passage today, though I'm changing my normal way of preaching because I'm going to do this as an overview of other verses as well. Well, Peter phones his mother on Mothering Sunday. "Mum, how are you?" he asks. "Not too good," answers his mother. "I've been very weak." "Why are you so weak, mother?" She replies, because I haven't eaten in 23 days. And Job, with concern, stammers, that's terrible. Why haven't you eaten for 23 days? His mother replies, because I did not want my mouth to be full with food if you should phone. A bit slow this morning. But let me give you another story about Waitrose. A man is there shopping with his trolley, and he's getting the week's provisions, and there's a child also in the trolley. And as he goes round, the child is screaming and shouting and yelling and kicking. And the man just goes on speaking softly in measured tones. Don't get upset, George. Don't cry, George. Don't scream, George. There's an older lady who was nearby who observed this, and she felt she must say something to that man about what a wonderful example he was of fatherhood. And she came up to him and said, sir, may I commend you on the way you're dealing with young George? Madam, he replied, I am George. Well, actually, sometimes relationships can be difficult, and relationships of parents, mothers with children, fathers with children, aren't always easy. And Mothering Sunday today will not be easy for some people. Those whose mothers perhaps are no longer alive, which is probably many of us, mothers whose children have died. And there are those who had a bad relationship with their mother, and Mothering Sunday, as it were, stirs that up. Then there are children who perhaps never knew their mothers because their mothers died in childbirth. There are those who live a long way away from their mothers. There are those who feel inadequate and worried and fearful as mothers for their children. And then there are those who would have liked to be mothers, but it's not possible now because of their age. And are you aware, I read that 1 in 7 couples experience the trauma of childlessness. So it is a real painful thing, this issue, sometimes of mothers and lack of being a mother. And I think we need to be aware of this and support one another in this and pray for one another. I've got 2 simple points to say today. The first is the pain of Mary. If you're a parent, have you ever wished your children or child was better behaved? Perhaps you said to yourself, wouldn't it be easier if he or she were better behaved? Well, Jesus was Mary's son, and he was perfect, and yet that caused Mary problems and pain. For Mary, motherhood was not easy. Think about it. When Jesus was born, she was young, inexperienced, and ostracized because of his conception. She was betrothed but not married. He was then born far from home, in difficult, even dangerous surroundings. There's the escape into Egypt, into a foreign land. Then she took Jesus one day to the temple. Read about this in Luke chapter 2. And there was Simeon, who prophesied over the child. And his prophecy was both wonderful and ominous. He said, this child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There's also at the end of Luke 2 mention about how when Jesus was 12, the family had gone down to Jerusalem with a big group of people, and they left Jerusalem in that big group, And they discovered on the way back home that Jesus wasn't there. And Mary and Joseph had to go back to collect and find Jesus. And Mary finds Jesus. He's in the temple. "Son, why have you treated us like this?" she says. "Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." But even more perplexing, he then says, "Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house?" And Luke says they didn't understand what he was saying to them. Yet we're told that Mary treasured all these things in her heart. But let's think a bit more widely, because in that culture, at that time, it was obligatory to marry and indeed to have children. And Jesus did not marry. It can't have been easy that Jesus remained single, indeed living at home. Jesus' public ministry also alienated him from his own family, as well as from the religious authorities. But as we heard read about in John, she watched Jesus' long, painful death, accursed on a Roman cross. Both my grandparents, both sets of grandparents, both lost children before 30, age of 30, in accidents and so on. And actually, it's a very painful thing, as some of you know, to lose a child. It's absolutely agonizing. But think about Mary. She'd been there herself. It was shameful to die on a cross. You were seen as accursed. And yes, Jesus would have hung there naked, which is something which Jews at that time thought was shameful. And what's amazing is that Mary was there supporting, being alongside all that happened on that first Good Friday. And the suffering of a cross was witnessed by those who loved him so much. Now, it's very easy in suffering just to think about ourselves. Sometimes you do visit people in hospital, I do, who actually, they're in pain, not at all well, and they can only think about themselves. But how different our reading from John's Gospel was. When Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here's your son." And to the disciple, "Here's your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Now, as Jesus died, for his mother Mary, a new relationship was created. Just as for us, as Jesus died in our place for our sin on the cross, a new relationship is created. And that new relationship is with each other. We are all people who know and have been rescued by God's grace and mercy. And we need, as a church, to recall there is a wider family. And if we're believers in Christ, we belong to it. We should reflect that wider family. Remember Jesus' words, "I give you a new commandment, love one another as I've loved you. So you must love one another." We're reminded on this Mothering Sunday of the pain of Mary as Jesus grew up, indeed most of all as he died on the cross. And yet also a lesson for us, because there are people here who are single, there are others who've never had children, and we should, as Christ people, reflect that family, and they should find love and support within the family of Christ, which has been created by his death on the cross, the pain of Mary. Second, the joy of Mary. Jesus, when you read in Luke 1, enters Zechariah's home. And she greets Elizabeth, and she sings out, "My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices." There was joy. We need to recognize that every child is a gift from God. And just as Mary thanked God for Jesus, I hope we can give thanks to God for children he has given us, if we do have children indeed, not just those in our own immediate family, but those in our church and in our community of Wargrave. There's great joy for Mary as she saw Jesus grow. Luke 2 verse 40, "And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." Then Luke 2 verse 51, "Then Jesus went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. And his mother Mary treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." I think in this church family, looking around, I know that there is that split thinking. Yes, we know, if not firsthand, we know the pain of Mary as a mother. We know also the joy given by children. Let me conclude. God entrusted Jesus to a human mother, Mary. We're reminded that God is for mothers and is for families. And can I say to you, if you're a mother, there's a clear reminder here that God has confidence in mothers, in the family, in fathers. It is God's invention, and that's where we should be experiencing life and love for the how many years we are given to enjoy our children with us. Amen.